This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, well, better late than never, huh? I suppose.
Are we late?
No, I don't think we're late. We're this is normal for us, you know? All right. Good morning, everybody. It's
late.
Yeah, it's just Thursday.
We're always on time.
Na 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 na. Whose song was that again? Always on time.
Ooh, Jarul! Jarul, we don't talk about
no,
Jarul.
We don't. We've cancelled him.
Has he become an embarrassment?
Before I say it, Sia, I think one of the things you need to do for us, sir, is you need to call that other company that's got online content.
Okay.
That starts I'm not
with
going
an N and ends with a Netflix.
Yeah, I was stuck in traffic this morning because people lose their minds when it rains. The guy in the car behind me had the guy behind him go into him. I just saw his hazards go on and he pulled off on the side of the road. And, you know, like, because people just break and then they aquaplane in this weather. And, I mean, it's nobody's fault. This happens to people. But the guy behind me had it happen to him this morning. And, you know, it could happen to you. And just drive carefully. Because
hold on. They aqua what?
They aquaplane. The car. You know when the car slides like that through the water? You know how your car sometimes loses control?
Yes, for like that split second.
Now, the thing to do when that happens, because someone, I've been in one or two of these driving things. You know, I went to the skid pan with George Meany once.
Skid pan.
That was fun. But there, of course, you don't, you know, it's someone else's car. And
and it is also a state-of-the-art BMW.
Yeah, and it's safe. So you,
but it's still
you
your
know,
life.
Yeah, yeah, but
yeah,
it's a
but
skid
pad. It's a skid pad.
So on our highways, I mean, driving down to the Rivonia off ramp today, the water was spraying up higher than my car on either side of it, and that's like on the lane one in from the left.
Oh no!
So it's just, I mean, it's craziness out there. I saw three cars with tow trucks along the way. So the one had turned around; it was facing the opposite way on the outside of the highway. And there was a tow truck loading up. It had its back window was blown out. It had its bumpers were all smashed. It was just a disaster. I mean, I don't know how these things can be avoided. It's just the weather, I suppose.
We're not used to it here in Joburg. 5 days of rain.
Mm-mm. No, we don't know what to do. Hey, good morning. What's up?
Morning, this is Tom from HR. You guys need to get your shit together and arrive at work on time, please.
We have been here, Tom.
Yeah, Tom, sorry.
No,
dude.
Listen. Okay, this is the second time this week. Mm-hmm. I want to see you guys start at 6 o'clock exactly. Yeah,
yeah,
so
right.
Please get back to work.
No, you're right.
Tom is whipping us.
You know what, Tom?
I'm not even
going to argue with you. You're absolutely right. We should
well,
start.
Well, there's
at
no
six.
Argument. The next time there's a letter coming down.
All right. Ooh. See who we held to account by. Thanks, Tom.
I nearly called him Uncle Tom, but it's a little too soon for that. Never mind. All right,
no, he doesn't sound
Tom
like, yeah, Tom doesn't sound like he's messing around.
Oh,
by
Tom,
the way,
we started with Janelle Monáe. I was out here dancing, feeling, you know,
that's
with her making me feel so good.
Tom's right. And you can call us like he did on 0861-555-189. We'll put you straight on the air.
The funny thing with my drive this morning is there was chaos with people not being able to drive in the rain, the robots are out, and no one knows how to work a four-way stop. And in all of this chaos, I live in the same area as Kabelo Mabelane. And
he's,
you know,
running in the rain.
He was running in
was
the
he?
Rain.
Oh my God.
You know, because he's like run the comrades several times. He even wrote a book about how running
changed
his life.
You know
life.
How sick you're going to get in this rain?
I was so annoyed because he looked so cool and calm and collected. There were hooters everywhere. There were cars not being able to move. And he was just so suave.
No.
Pounding that pavement.
We can't have that.
Pinky's our intern. She said she almost had a bus go into her this morning.
Yeah, it was one of those Patco buses.
Yeah?
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I took the registration, but I'm not too sure if that's going to help.
Name and
shame.
Yeah,
what are you going
to do with it? But he was driving through like all the red traffic lights.
Ooh.
Look, it's bad enough when people drive stupidly when the sun is out and the roads are dry. But my God, when it's wet, it's like extra scary.
Yeah.
So he was going through traffic lights and everything as well.
Yes. Yeah, and I mean, I have a really small car.
Mm.
And what I did, I just moved to the yellow line.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he just drove past me, drove past the next traffic lights. He was just flying through.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Crazy. glad you're right. Sure.
And wow. I think of all of the passengers on that bus. Yeah, should something have happened. Well,
I always wonder because that, you know, you see like how taxis just put on the hazards and pull over to the left sometimes, but sometimes they also pull into oncoming traffic without even a hint that they might do it. Like I'm always super vigilant around just because you never know with taxis. They make their own rules.
You never know with people on the road.
And I feel bad for those passengers. Mm. In particular, they don't have a lot of options. All right, so lots to get into today, and welcome to a Thursday morning on cliffcentral.com a bit later on, as has become our way on a Thursday. We check in on all the big stories of the week, our burning platform, which is co-hosted by Pumi Mashiko and Kanthan Pillay. We talk about all the big stories in the news. We talk about some politics. We get into what's right, what's wrong, and what needs some help. So all of that's coming up. Here's an email from Matthew. He said, what's this?
Another call.
Should we go to the calls? Yeah, let's do the calls. I did say I'd take them. hey, good morning. Hello?
Oh, bad line.
This is a terrible line. Where are you calling from?
The middle of the rain.
Mars? Hello?
Call us back. Get out of your dip and call us back.
Yeah, I don't know where you're calling from. These cell phones are so unreliable. So here's an email from Matthew. He says, hey, guys. Firstly, thank you for the most refreshing platform for consuming current news and content. I constantly recommend your show to friends as the best and only way to stay informed with all things South Africa. Now that the SONA has been and gone, please could you do a burning platform feature on the new directorate within the NPA? What will it be called and how will it compare to the Scorpions? Well, all we know at this point is the president's promised there will be some kind of directorate in there. We don't know any of the detail because while his speech was mostly a pleasant surprise to all commentators, and I've read a bunch of opinions on it, it seems to me that it was received mostly well. But it's flowery. It's what Pumi complained about last week, that we're all hoped out. Like we don't want to have hope and inspiration from our leaders. We want action. And Kanthan was saying, if you compared the State of the Union in America to the State of the Nation in South Africa and what the content of the speeches were, and as much as you may hate Donald Trump and you may love Cyril, what you've got to admit is Donald Trump was going through a laundry list of things that his administration has done in the last year and a half, 2 years. And Cyril couldn't do that if he tried because there's nothing to brag about. Nothing. So that's worth discussing, Matthew. I agree. Perhaps you could go over what the Scorpions were, what powers they had, and why they were disbanded. I think that would be fascinating. You could probably do a whole episode on it. Please keep doing what you're doing. Thanks again for an incredible show, Matthew Healy. Okay. Thanks, Matthew. By the way, another quick reminder while we're doing this. Cancer has, of course, affected everybody in some way or form, and yet there are so many stigmas and unknown areas of expertise around cancer. So Sonia Booth hosts a series we've done here called Understanding Cancer. It's a podcast series along with world-class doctors, oncologists, specialists, and more. They discuss topics in areas that are as diverse as cancer in women, men, and children, dealing with cancer financially, survivor stories, and a whole lot more. There are personal stories as part of it. Tears are shed, there's laughter, there's anger. But most importantly, there is hope because they are figuring out ways to make cancer less of a threat to your life, to your livelihood. You know, there are treatments available, new ones being discovered all the time, and you can hear all about cancer in a way that's informative and fresh. It's your personal companion podcast to help you through your journey or the journey of someone you love as they go through cancer. All 10 episodes available on cliffcentral.com, on the Cliff Central app, or, you know what, wherever you get your podcasts. I don't mind where you listen. You could listen on Stitcher. You could listen on Spotify. You could listen on Apple Music because we're on the podcasts on iTunes. Wherever you like to get it. You just subscribe over there and then it comes to you. Every week there's a new episode. Mm-hmm. And in this case, you can binge the whole series if you want to. It's a great series called Understanding Cancer. And there are a whole lot of others you might discover to your liking as well. So, Pumelele, no trials and tribulations this week, nothing stolen from your car, no disasters. I'm kind of a little disappointed.
Gareth, everybody had trials and tribulations this week. There was like widespread load shedding.
Yeah, but I mean, aren't we just used to that?
So what I did do, though, I was telling Sia, as I went out and I bought myself a gas stove.
Oh, did you? So this is the first step.
Along with my candles.
This is the first step towards the Mashiko household becoming a banana republic.
There used to be a time when we were fully fledged with every single like backup plan.
Oh, because you did have it?
Dude, I come from a township. Yeah, okay, so in fact, until a couple of years ago when they said load shedding, I suddenly had a word for something that has been a part of my life, my whole, like from the get-go. Like, we, you know, yesterday, was it yesterday whenever when Pravin, when the hashtag cut off Soweto went apeshit right on Twitter.
Because like, Soweto is 15 billion rand in...
The people of Soweto, have always been load shedded. Mm. My entire life growing up in Soweto, when winter came, when there was a burden on the system, now I understand why we would get load shedded. We would go sometimes 3 weeks in the middle of winter with absolutely no electricity. And this was a norm. This is the way that our life has always been. So I can understand why people are just like, and so, having a gas stove, having a drum full of water in your backyard is just, this is the way we have lived. All that we see now is a democratization of like bad service from the government. It's widespread.
It's like a race to the bottom. We're basically, now we're out miserying each other in terms of, like, let's see how much worse things can be. Oh, my story's shit, and my story's shitter. So now we can both share our shit our stories are, and then we'll feel better about it.
And all we have to do, guys, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to bloody bitch and moan about it. Just, like, sort yourself out. Get the candles if you need the candles. Get the gas stove. Just keep it moving. Keep it moving. Let the politicians sort their shit out when they eventually do. But take control of your own situation.
I do not want to turn our show into a place where we bitch about government every day. I couldn't agree more. But the reality is, and most of the time, government doesn't have a lot to do with you. You get on with your life, right? A lot of the time, you can control that. But with things like electricity, which is, I mean, it's 2019. It's not 1935. We had a power utility that was one of the best in the world. And people were supplied at a certain point with consistent electricity across most of, certainly the business community, which is necessary to generate any kind of GDP so that this government can run on the tax that's generated from said GDP. But it seems to me like we can't, no matter how much we try to ignore government. And I do. I really do. Every day I'm trying to cut more and more of it out. And I'm happier as a result. I believe you. You're absolutely right. But my God, it does really start. You know when it affects you? Like this morning, the traffic's bad enough with the rain. But now if you put the rain plus power outages and you have robots out all over Johannesburg. I mean, I had a meeting yesterday morning. I went to go and hear a really interesting guy called Douglas Rushkoff, who is a professor of digital media and a media strategist and a digital capitalist expert.
Digital capitalist. Okay.
Yeah, so he's talking about like how these big, you know, the Googles and the Facebooks. I mean, he's brilliant. He's an American dude. He was on Skype from London. And this was at a launch of Investec's new ad campaign. And, they throw in an interesting speaker to kind of get people to come and watch. Anyway, this guy was on and I didn't want to be late. And I had to take such a circuitous route to get to Investec.
Was this using Waze, through people's lounges?
No, in this case, that is funny because sometimes it does send you through people's lounges. But this time I knew the territory. Mm. And I was actually on the phone to somebody on the way and I said, I'm going to go this way. And they said, oh, no, that's terrible. You're going to get stuck. It turned out to be a good way. I got there on time. I don't know what time you got there.
Oh, horribly afterwards.
Because if I'd gone down the route.
Ravonia Road.
It's a disaster. So I got there on time. I still had like 15, 20 minutes before the presentation began, which
really?
I love. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you were really early.
But I looked at what was going on around me and I thought, oof, I know what people are going to do. And this is predicting human behavior. So you look at the main roads and you're like, well, they're going to take the main roads because they reckon that's probably the quickest. And it never is.
Rivonia Road, guy, is never the quickest.
No.
It is never the quickest. With or without power, Rivonia Road, like William Nicol, is a mess.
Mm. And but for
any time of day,
for people who are listening to us from all over the world, Rivonia Road's like an artery through from the kind of far northern suburbs of Johannesburg, Sunning Hill, and that kind of area,
yes,
into the heart of it in town. And you can follow Rivonia Road all the way through. It becomes Oxford, and then that goes into,
yes,
town. So it's a major artery. And William Nicol's the other major artery from the northern suburbs into town. And these two are just the most disastrous streets you could ever find yourself on when there's a power outage, because they're robots every 5 minutes.
On any day, at any time of the day, and then,
right,
throw into it a big, massive roadblock to check people's tickets.
Yeah, they do that too. That's great as well. Like, everything's perfect. Things are actually working. And then what do the police do? No, let's throw some bureaucracy at this.
Because that is the most convenient place to stop as well.
Well, the Metro Police don't care. I'd love to know what their rate of success is in finding people who are in contravention of something. And I'm not I'm not talking about not having a triangle in your car. I'm talking about like people who are shipping huge amounts of contraband.
Wasn't there like a big story of a couple of years ago about them finding somebody in a roadblock who had been locked in the boot? Because the guys had hijacked this guy and locked him in the boot. And there was like these big stops, and it was on actual William Nicol.
Well,
and they found the guy. So,
yeah, I know in December they did a big push and they were taking counterfeit goods out of people's cars, but that's
counterfeit.
The most of, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, guys.
It went into the millions that they restored.
Mm-hmm. Fong Kongs.
Oh, Lord, your children out here in Joburg.
We're a bad bunch of people, aren't we? We're just a bad bunch of people. All right.
I just love the fact that you've used the word
circuitous.
Circuitous.
You like that, huh? Sia finds a new word every day. I mean, I'm talking here.
Of a route or journey longer than the most direct way.
Circuitous. Is there a better word than that?
Circuitous. Oh, I'll use it. I hope I'm late now today so that I can say, sorry, you know, should have been circuitous.
No, that's not.
Should have taken the circuitous route.
Isn't this great, though? Because you find a word like that and it saves you so much time.
It's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. With the English language.
All right. Lots to get to, so let's not mess around.
All I want to know is summer ever coming back to Joburg?
No, it's done. I think summer's done. I was thinking, you know, kind of we try to keep our summer in our lives for as long as possible. We wear like clothes that are light, and you know that you don't have to wear closed shoes if you're at home, and you know you can go out into the sun, and those people who have pools, you can look at your pool longingly and go, well, I'll swim before, you know, before the end of Feb, yeah, for sure. It's not going to happen. All right. Let's get into the five things you need to know today. What do you say, Pums?
Yebo.
All right. So
let's be a little bit smarter.
Yeah, we'll be a bit smarter this morning, hopefully get you to the... And if you're stuck, just be stuck. It's safer than and better than being crashed into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to make you feel better. But
call someone, tell them you're going to be late.
You're going to be late, that's
Don't
it.
Don't drive crazy.
It's not the worst thing. All right, so experts say, with rapid change in the field of artificial intelligence, including engineering and teaching, it will have a different face some years from now. That's a Western Cape innovator and data scientist who are promoting computer science as a possible career choice. I think this is a very good career choice, by the way. The CEO of a company called Xinoe, with an X, X-I-N-E-O-H. I can only imagine it is a Chinese company or something. You know how many people still can't pronounce Huawei, even though they're a well-known international brand now?
Yeah, no.
Got to be careful be careful what you call your company.
And Hyundai.
Hyundai. People still can't get Hyundai right.
Hyundai.
So now we've got to pronounce Xinoe. Anyway, Vian China, it sounds like, might be Indian, but I don't want to, you know.
The Icarus.
Yeah, I don't want to put people in tribes, but like the name sounds like it could be. He says, or she says, because who the hell knows? What? I mean, I've got no clues here. This, I might be making this whole thing up. You wouldn't know because you can't check me on anything. You wouldn't know how to spell any
of this. We'll fact check. What are they saying?
So, Xinoe's CEO, Vian China, says industries related to technology, like artificial intelligence, open new career paths, also set to modify those that are already existing. The company's spokesperson, Brennan Wright, says school children in particular should be aware of this when deciding on possible career paths. Yeah, you see, because the old jobs that we used to depend on, the old career paths that people used to follow, in your parents' and your grandparents' time are no longer relevant. You are not going to, you're not going to get those jobs anymore.
Mm.
Those career paths are a waste of time. That's why all these people asking for free tuition at university to study things like political science, no one's going to care anymore. So what are you going to get qualified in that for? I know I've got a degree in political science. It's done me absolutely zero good in my life. It's the most pointless thing you could possibly study. It doesn't even help me with the burning platform. Does it?
I'm looking at you skeptically.
Nothing. You learn more from reading the newspapers than I ever did in political science. I can promise you that. This is quite a scary thing, and it's the second thing you need to know today. The South African Depression and Anxiety Group, SADAG, who do great work, we've had them on here before, say that most of the teen deaths in South Africa are due to suicide.
It's Teen Suicide Awareness Week.
That's correct. Teen Suicide Prevention Week. Okay. Meant to highlight the plight of teenagers and taking their own lives in South Africa. Throughout this week, the organization will be raising awareness. And it doesn't only encourage teens to come forward, but also tells them where to go for help in their own communities. The organization's Zane Wilson says this can be done in a few ways by getting organizations who have skills in talking to schools class by class about bullying, sadness, or the loss of someone in their families. And I think the one thing that no one talks about here is social media, because I think that is a major catalyst in why, particularly, they've done studies around this in America, and you can read a brilliant book by Steven Pinker, which addresses this quite well. Girls on social media, the biggest cause of teen suicide in America is peer pressure and bullying on social media, particularly for girls. The rate of suicide there has quadrupled because girls are absolute terrors to each other on social media. The bullying used to stop when you left school. At least you were safe at home. Mm. Now it follows you on your phone everywhere you go. And it's driven a lot of girls who are impressionable and insecure and for God's sake, growing up. They're growing up, and they have to take all of this every step of the way through their lives. Now you get torn down by people on Instagram and on Facebook and on Twitter. It's just a real challenge. So I don't know how we're going to solve this problem. Maybe we'll talk about that a bit later on when we've got some time. The IAAF is to argue that Olympic 800-meter champion Caster Semenya should be classified as a biological male and be forced to take testosterone suppressants if she is going to compete in the women's competition, according to reports on Wednesday.
How is this still a thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, Ben is a major, major fan of Caster Semenya, and he says the IAAF are guilty of all kinds of bigotry here. I don't know.
Particularly when I saw, again, I think you posted it on your social media with a guy who reclassified, mm-hmm. gender reclassification.
Yeah, this is a man, and he's now competing against women. But he spent
weightlifting or something.
Yeah, he spent like 20 years of his life as a man, and now he's had gender reassignment surgery, and he's classified. Well, I don't even know if he's completed gender reassignment surgery. Now he's competing with women, and he's beating them all in this field. He's just destroying them because he's got a man's body, whether he's a woman or not now. I suppose I should then call her she. But if she's now got a woman's body, a woman's gender, she's still got a man's body. You know, it's this denial of biology that's very perplexing to people, because there's no way that's fair to the women who are competing in that category.
And for me, what fascinates me about that is that that conversation doesn't get had, but this conversation gets had about Caster all the time.
Yeah, because with Caster, it's almost like, she's competing here against women, and she's clearly better than all the other women in the category. And we're not sure, because no one's honest about this, and everybody's so politically correct and they're careful around it, that we're not sure. We've heard, well, Caster has very high levels of testosterone, or she may have, you know, some kind of an anomaly that makes her slightly different.
I think that they're incredibly biased towards Caster.
You think so?
I do. I think that's incredibly biased towards Caster, and I think it's just absolutely unfair.
I'm wondering whether we shouldn't have a category in athletics. You have men, and you have women, and then you have this intersex category, for want of a better term. And then, because for people who are, and you know, leftists, crazy leftists say that you can just decide on a whim that you've gone from male to female, which means essentially that you could have some big hulking man take on a woman in boxing. And essentially, that's just woman abuse by
any
other man.
I think we're ready to move on to the fourth thing we need.
This is just, I mean, it's unbelievable. And in Caster's case, I am completely undecided because I don't know the detail. I'm not a biologist. I'm not a specialist in this respect. But the IAAF say she's got to take part as a male. And they must have some reasons for that. And then everybody else, including Ben, who does our sport here, says no, she's definitely in the female category. And just because she's winning, people don't like her.
I agree with Ben.
All right. The ANC have another problem, but they won't. This is never going to be a problem because the ANC, like with the Deputy Minister of Education at the time, who abused that woman in the Cubana in four ways. Mm-hmm. The ANC don't really care when their own behave badly. You're allowed to stay on the NEC. Nobody really calls you in and hauls you over the coals for this.
So an ANC
ward councillor was arrested on Tuesday on charges of abduction, rape of a minor, and attempted rape, and is expected to appear in court this week. Apparently he took two young girls, locked them up in a house, and only released them after a few days. I mean, this is R. Kelly type stuff.
Mm. What?
Yeah. Police spokesperson, Captain...
sorry, my mic is falling in. Thank you.
There we go.
Police spokesperson, Captain Bashwabile Kale, said that the suspect was currently in the holding cells. Police are investigating the rape of a 14-year-old mentally disabled girl, as well as the attempted rape of another young woman. So not only was this girl underage, not only was it a situation of forced sex rape, but it was also a mentally disabled person and another girl who was not mentally disabled. It's just revolting. They were taken to the veterans' houses in Lerato Park on February the 8th and were only released on the 10th at 5 p.m. The ward council on social media denied the allegations, saying it was nothing more than a smear campaign. That's some smear campaign, dude. So you better lawyer up. And I wonder what the ANC will say about this. Here's my bet. Nothing. And then Iran... a suicide attack on Wednesday on the Revolutionary Guard in their bus in southeastern Iran killed at least 20 people and left 20 more wounded. You know, what we've got to remember about Iran is that their regime is even more unpopular than ours. The Iranian people are sick to death of the kind of brutal Islamist control that the Ayatollahs have. It's a theocracy. And the Persian people, the Iranian people, are by and large a very well-educated. I mean, the ones who are still there are less well-educated than the ones who have left. Anyone who could leave and who had the means to leave left.
So I was in Tehran 3 years ago.
Tell me.
And it was astounding. It was astounding because for me, because we only hear about Iran news articles of this nature, very similar to South Africa. There are a lot of people outside South Africa who only hear what is reported. I was blown away. It is such a fantastic city. It is thriving, buzzing city.
It
was very irritating in the hotel that I stayed at because next door there was a construction site. It was irritating, but when I thought about what it meant, this construction site, and the city is rapidly growing, and even under the sanctions, you know, they're building, they're 24-hour building site, right? So they work like a hospital. They work in shifts because they have timelines to meet. And so they are in construction for 24 hours a day so that they have no downtime. It's irritating when you're sleeping and there's a jackhammer next door. But if you think about what that means, is the level of that the people in that country just doing what they need to do.
Industrious people.
I was in taxis with women taxi drivers in the offices. I was on a work trip. In the offices that I went to, in the government institutions that I visited, you know, we kind of go, oh, it's like a Muslim Islamist theocracy.
Well,
and
it
it's
is.
Backward.
The head of state is a priest.
Yeah.
You know.
What do they call them? Ayatollah.
Ayatollah Khamenei.
And you think, what we think it is not what it is. Everywhere I went to the malls, I saw lots of young women, well-educated, working on the streets.
That's more of a hangover from what it used to be.
What it used to be.
Because before the Shah was thrown out, Persia was considered the Paris of the East. And it was a very egalitarian place. It was a place of
crying out loud, they invented the postal system, you know, like.
Well, that was under that was quite a lot longer ago. That was under Cyrus the Great.
But what it is?
Like 400 BC.
But what counts. It's a thing, right? Because it hasn't changed. The thing for me is that what perceptions we have from the outside, and when you are in the environment, it is astounding. It is astounding, and it is thriving. At the time also, it was just as Barack Obama was announcing that they're talking about removing sanctions. Yeah. So the hope, the sheer upward trajectory that the country was on.
Paint a nice picture, Trump. But Donald Trump's campaign, his policy towards Iran has at least been consistent. Obama couldn't make up his mind as to what to do with Iran. And frankly, this is a country which we know funds terrorist activity in Lebanon, in Gaza, and we know that they're hugely opposed to Saudi Arabia. There's this massive Sunni-Shia split which is tearing the Muslim world apart. And Iran are a major player in that. So
I think, and
all that you're saying
for me,
is great.
I think that they are allowed to be.
I love construction sites and women in the workplace and all of this cosmetic shit that makes it sound lovely. This is a dangerous theocracy out there.
What I absolutely disagree with is that, you know, that it is only a one-sided negative picture that gets painted. And America funds terrorism in other ways. America is largest.
Let us not. Please don't create some false equivalence between America and Iran. It's not possible.
It's not a false equivalent.
It's absolutely a false
equivalent. How is it a false equivalent?
We've got one country here where you might see women in the workplace there, but we all know about the religious police in Iran. And this is not some underreported thing that gets suddenly blown up by the Western media.
But when the Iranians...
Why is it that so many... Why is it that there is a net outflow of people from Iran if it's such a great place?
Why is it? Let the people who are unhappy leave. Why is it that the people within that environment remain? Why is it that the people within
that environment...
Probably
because they can't afford to go anywhere.
Why is it that we have to decide for those individuals what is right or wrong for
them?
We're
not. This is a country that doesn't mind talking about wiping another country, in this case Israel, off the map. That is their stated purpose. In international relations, do you remember the previous president?
I absolutely do. But my point is,
Ahmadinejad and what he said. This country should not exist. This is a theocracy that is trying to develop a nuclear weapon with the stated purpose of wiping another country off the map.
When America decided that they were unhappy with the way that Iraq and Saddam Hussein was running it, when they wiped that off the list, when Afghanistan, the Russians and the Americans had a proxy war in Afghanistan, that was okay.
We're not all equal. The world is not all equal, if I gave you a passport to live in Iran for the rest of your life or to live in America, I know for a fact you'd choose America.
I would not choose either one of those countries.
If I forced you to choose one of them, which one would you choose? And don't be obfuscatory here. Don't try and dodge the question.
Dude, it is far more dangerous to be in America as a black woman than it is in Iran.
Okay, then you've answered my question. I cannot have a sensible conversation with you if that's your position on Iran and America. I can't.
No.
I just can't. I'm sorry.
I'm
not unhappy with you. You know I love you, but my God, that's the dumbest thing you've said in a long time.
You can
so
be
let's
unhappy
move on.
With the conversation.
All right, we're moving on. I can't even have this conversation. That's the most stupid thing I've ever heard. Bitcoin is
Gareth,
trading. No, we got to move on.
No,
I'm
we cannot. We, hold on.
I'm not
so
having
if you
this
are unhappy with the conversation and you believe that the conversation, hold on.
I can't debate this with someone who's going to be on principle.
Hold.
Full of false equivalences.
Hold on.
It's ludicrous.
Wait and listen. So it is okay to disagree. It is okay to have absolutely differing views from completely different places.
One is not
however,
a view.
What is not okay is deciding that this individual's view, if they are unable to move you to a place where they are, it is okay to leave it at that, but it is not okay to decide that because I do not agree with you and I do not agree with your view, it is a stupid view.
Sorry, there are stupid views.
Absolutely not.
If you think that the world would be better if Iran were the most important economy on
but
earth,
but that is not my
than
view.
Then America, if you think that the two can be compared with each other
but
on an equal footing, and that the one is an agent of good and the other one is an agent of good as well,
That
madness.
Is not my view. How can you decide that is the view when I have not said that America or that Iran would be better, the world would be better off if Iran was the dominant economy?
You said.
I have not said that. I have not said that Iran. I have not said the world would be a better place if Iran.
Here's what you have said.
But the inference that you are making is that because I believe that my experience of Iran is a completely different experience.
Your experience is subjective. It has nothing to do with
that. Everybody's experience is subjective, including media.
That's absolutely nonsense.
Everybody's experience is subjective.
What's the objective truth here? The objective truth is
there is no such thing as an objective truth.
Okay, I'll tell you what the objective truth is. The president of Iran is an ayatollah. They're chasing up a nuclear program at the moment to try and arm themselves to nuclear capacity so that they can do what they have. Take them at their word for it. Don't listen to me. What is the Iranian regime going to do with a nuke?
What the Iranian regime?
Not for you. What have they said?
But this is the point: is that there is no such thing as an objective view. Every view is subjective. Every view is taken through a lens of the experience that you have had.
So what do you know is true?
What I know is true is that when I was in Iran, when I was in Tehran, I experienced a vastly different country from what I had heard all along that this place is. I, as a black woman, arriving in an environment where I was skeptical that I would be in meetings and I would be taken on as an equal and a par. And that happened. That happened. I had that.
Good morning. Hello.
Hey, Gareth, it's Adam from Dubai. How are you?
Yeah, good.
Hello, Adam
ahead,
from
Adam.
Dubai.
Hi, Tumi, how are you?
Poor me. Yeah, go ahead.
Listen, just a quick one. I've been to Iran. We've gone to Iran a couple of times with lifeguard competitions, and we've taken lifeguards across and female lifeguards, Tumi. And I would agree with Gareth that I think you would be better off in America than Iran, 100%.
Yeah, I think there's, well, I think Pumi's just being difficult about this because she knows that it's better in America than in Iran. She's been to both countries. I can't believe you would think that there's a comparison.
Dude, that's
and then
that's
when
okay.
I ask you to compare them, and I ask you apple, you say, oh, no, I wouldn't go to either.
That is okay.
Dodging the question.
But that is okay. It is not dodging the question. It is how I feel, and it is my view.
No, you're trying to avoid the obvious comparison between two things here, A and B. All I'm saying is choose. And you won't do it because you know what your answer is going to be is going to lead you down a path you don't want to go to, where you will lose the discussion. Am I wrong?
Absolutely not. No.
Then choose. Which country would be better for you as a woman? Which country is more egalitarian? Which country treats women with more respect? On the whole, let's not look at particular women you might have bumped into in America or Iran. Which country has legislative equality for men and women?
America has that.
Thank you. Which country has freedom of speech? Which country has freedom of association? Which country has a free media? The media that you talk about that's so biased, even though I agree with you it's biased. Which country has those things? Which country has a thriving economy that you could go into as a person with an idea and make a living for yourself?
Come on.
Iran?
A thriving economy when you are under sanctions. Come on, Gareth. It's not fair.
It's not fair to say
this country which is buckling under sanctions because the West was unhappy with the way that they wanted to govern themselves.
Why does Iran have
the
sanctions? Why does Iran have sanctions?
Because the West was unhappy with the way that they want to govern themselves.
No, they don't. They have sanctions because they're funding and aiding and abetting known terrorist organizations and terrorist leaders.
As an African, I keep saying to you, America does the same here in Africa.
So you're drawing the false equivalence.
America does the same here in Africa.
Then, so if you can
Patrice Lumumba and the downfall of that, it's funded by the CIA. Okay. It's funded by Americans.
So
and now when you sit and look at Africa, when you look at Africa
years ago.
And look at the hangover. Look at the hangover of that experience. A government that is backed by American money has not been able, to come back from the terror that was rained down upon them by Americans.
So let's take your point. Let's imagine that the two are equivalent in terms of terrorist associations. Now I'm asking you to choose. Where do you want to live? If they're the same about, let's say they both support terrorists. Both of them are illiberal, evil societies. And which one do you choose to live in?
I would not choose America.
Okay, so you'd go and live in Iran.
I'm happy to live in Iran.
Then our discussion's over. Because I wouldn't have to have anything to do with you. You'd be in Iran, and I'd be in America. Great. Works out well for me. Good morning.
Morning, Graham. How are you guys?
Yeah, Graham,
hello,
go
Graham.
Ahead.
Boomy, I need to challenge you. I feel like you've adopted a postmodern narrative where truth is subjective. And it's very dangerous. And if you actually look into where these ideas come from, they come from the Frankfurt School, where the very men who came up with these ideas were taken to the USSR and shown this false utopia of how wonderful things could be if we accept everything that is. Truth is subjective. There's no such thing as objective truth. Everybody has their own truth. And unfortunately, there could be nothing further from the truth. There seems to be this sort of ideology that's infected the modern world, and in particular Africa, because it aligns with very weirdly with Marxism. And truth is truth. There is no way around that. Yes, certain abstract ideas of emotional things can be subjective. The objectivity of what makes up water is truth. It's hydrogen and oxygen. There's no
All right. Well, I want to move on. I mean, I think you and I.
No, I absolutely look. You know, the thing about the subjectivity of truth within a scientific construct, and science, like religion, is a belief system. Like law, it's a belief system. You have to operate from a position.
So gravity doesn't care about your beliefs.
No.
Or your.
However.
Or your feelings.
No. However, Gareth, there was a time when everybody knew for a fact that the truth is that the world is flat. And the thing about the truth at any particular time is that it is challengeable, and you have to put in place the opposite to substantiate. If you believe one thing over the other, you have to put in place the opposite.
That's what I asked you about America. That's why I said America or Iran, and you wouldn't go there.
No, we did go there. Gareth, we did go there. You are just unhappy with the fact that I chose Iran. But here is the thing about the subjectivity of truth, is that there was a time when people accepted as absolute truth
There are still people who think that.
That the Ten Commandments are the be-all and end-all foundation of the way that humanity is. Mm-hmm. There was a time when it was accepted as absolute truth that slavery is the way that the world should be, as absolute truth, that this is what we need in order for this world to work, because black people are inferior in every way to white people. This was an absolute truth. It was, and the thing about truth is that you have to test it, and it is all subjective. It is all subjective based on what you know, what you have experienced, and what you are able to substantiate. Of course, there are things that become universal truths because everybody agrees to the point of departure. And all I'm saying is that if we only use the perspective and the guise of the West as acceptable as the only point of view of truth.
How do you think we've come to this point where we can even have this conversation with
Gareth,
with the things we have around us without Western civilization?
Gareth,
the entire existence that we consider to be democracy, the foundation of this country's free, independent electoral system, is based on a Western idea that was generated 2,300 years ago. These are not things to be cast aside in favor of someone's subjective experience in the Amazon rainforest. It's not just a plaything. This is a real thing. I believe civilization is a real thing. It's valuable. And it comes from years and years of experience. And it's an objective truth that that stuff has done more good for people than bad in history. It's an objective truth that capitalism raises people out of poverty far more than socialism ever could or will.
And yet capitalism requires an underclass of people in order to work.
Then get out of it.
It requires the underclass in order for it. You need people to work for you.
I don't agree with you that that's an underclass. For some people, that's meaningful employment. For some people, I mean, I've worked for other people. That didn't make me feel like I was in an underclass. I was providing useful work. That didn't put me in an underclass. What an outrageous thing to say.
Being an underclass doesn't mean that you are not in useful employment. It simply means that there's a big disparity between the person at the top and the person at the bottom.
No, but you're talking about equity. So he's right then. You're a postmodernist.
And that's okay.
Well, my point is, it's a very destructive philosophy. Okay, fine. I'm really bored with this.
This is the thing.
Here's an email from Carl. Listen to what he says, and I agree with him. It's annoying that this conversation has gone on so long. Please move on.
The third white male who's unhappy with the perspective.
Okay, so it's about white males. This is typical leftist nonsense. This is the kind of bullshit that stops people from engaging. It's got to be about white males.
What stops people?
Or your experience as a black female.
What stops people from engaging is deciding that my point of view is superior and therefore I'm no longer to engage with the point of view that differs from mine.
Can't do this.
That's what stops engagement. Deciding that my point of view is superior, I am bored, I'm stopping to have this conversation.
No, I've tried. We've tried for
and
half
that's okay.
an hour to discuss this. I've tried. It's not as if we're going to have common ground in this.
We don't have to have common ground.
I would like us to reach a point where we've had meaningful conversation. You're spouting ideology.
So you are deciding that meaningful conversation is only at a point where it agrees to or makes sense to you. Meaningful conversation position.
You're telling the basic premise of your conversation in the last half hour has been that there is no truth, that it's all subjective.
The basic premise is that.
Am I not reading it right?
That's okay. That is not the point that I'm disagreeing with. And this is my point precisely, is that a meaningful conversation does not have to end in consensus. It can end at a place where we're saying, well, we disagree. However, I understand your point of view a little bit better. I don't agree with it, but I understand where you are coming from. In the same way, I don't agree with your point of view, but I understand you a little bit better. However, to decide that up until that point where it makes sense to me in a particular way, if that doesn't happen, I am bored. I want to stop having this engagement.
Listen, we've got it. Said by Sia was meant to be 5 minutes ago, and we've still got to
give Said by Sia his opportunity.
So this is the reason I'm moving it along, because honestly, otherwise it's you and I masturbating on the air. And there's no point in that. So Bitcoin's at $3,613, Ethereum at $124. Sia, what's in Said by Sia?
I was just like, what's going on?
Okay. let's get to you, because let's go.
I think this is actually quite apt to bring up this morning then. It is from my new favorite website. It's called humanprogress.org.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys heard about that? Have you gone on there? Because this is what I think we all need. It is your life in numbers right now. And so generally my theme this week has been exploring how better things are in general today, wherever you are in the world. So really, is life getting better or worse? Well, if you look at the numbers right now, wherever you are in the world, life is way better. So I just took a random year, 1966. So this was 53 years ago. And way back in 1966, the average life expectancy was only 56 years old. Today, it's 72 years old. So that's an increase of 29%. Back in 1966, out of every 1,000 infants born, 133 died before their first birthday. Isn't that scary?
Yeah, I wonder how many of those countries were
53 years old.
I wonder how many of those countries were objectively free.
Are you? Today, only 32 infants died before their first birthday, and that's a reduction of 72%. Back then, in 1966, the median income per person was $6,000 globally. And today, globally, the average is $16,000. And that's just adjusted for inflation and purchasing power as well. The food supply rose from 2,300 calories per person per day back in 1966 to 2,800 calories. That's an increase of 22%. And back 53 years ago, the length of schooling that a person typically could expect to receive was only 3.9 years. This is 53 years ago.
Yeah.
Today, entire school career.
Entire. Globally, this is the average. It's still a bit shocking that today it's only 8.4 years. That's the average length of schooling that a person will take. And then lastly, the world has become less authoritarian with the level of democracy.
Authoritarian.
Thank you. I was like, yeah, with the too many R's and T's in this one. So the level of democracy back then was -0.97, and today the level of democracy is 4.23 on a scale of 10. So that's an improvement if you want to look at the numbers of 536%. So
by the way, is Iran authoritarian or is it democratic?
It's religious.
But it's also authoritarian.
It's religious. Uganda, America, what in God we trust.
Okay, so if you want to bring it to South Africa,
do you know that the Constitution separates church and state very clearly? Thomas Jefferson built a wall long before Donald Trump, and that wall was between the church and state. Sort of like that wall between two organs. No, trust me, it's the real thing.
On their money.
Okay, but just said by Sia. Thank you. So, in particular, in South Africa, comparing 1966 to today, our life expectancy has risen by 16%. Income per person has risen by 41%. Food supply per person has risen by 10%. And mean years of schooling, the average, has risen by 116%. And our level of democracy has risen by 33%. So in conclusion, life is better. That's what I'm here
saying.
Today. Thank you. That's your advice.
Depending on where you are.
Yes. Well, in general, looking at the numbers.
Compare any Western democracy to any authoritarian regime anywhere else, and you will find it is better.
Oh, and by the way?
Substantially, objectively better.
By the way, Gareth Pumi, happy Valentine's Day.
Where's my flowers and chocolates? Where's my flowers and chocolates?
The studio's burning before the burning platform. I'm out of here.
Burning platform stuck in traffic.
Yeah, Shane Canton, we hopefully will find him somewhere in the traffic. Because like everybody this morning, he's going to be sick. All right, we'll...
Where's my chocolate?
Coffee.
I saw a tweet though yesterday saying if you're over Valentine's Day is only for you if you're under 25. If you're over 25, wait for Women's Day, Auntie.
Auntie.
Wait for Women's Day.
Well, you know what? I made you coffee this morning. I think that's about as romantic as I can.
Hello.
All right. When we come back, we're going to get into the burning platform with Canton. He's just arrived, and Pumi.
Go
and
get
we'll
your
take
coffee.
Your calls. All right, you know what to do.
This is CliffCentral.com.